For the first time this week, I understood or I came to know of the existence of the phenomena of coerced debt as a form of gender-based violence, of how partners can put pressure on one another to take on debt, apply for loans, apply for credit accounts, and use that as a measure of control over their partner. Shyam Samai is the director of the Women's Legal Center. We're also going to be speaking to Felicity Guest, who is a financial abuse activist and the founder of Child Maintenance Difficulties in South Africa. Shyam Samai, director at Women's Legal Center, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having us again.
The concept of coerced debt may not be new to many people, but it's something as a concept, as a form of gender-based violence, me reading about more this week. What exactly is coerced debt?
Well, coerced debt is a form of financial abuse. And financial abuse, just like psychological abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, it's all a form of abuse. But going into the financial, because you get different forms of financial abuse also, which I will go into, but a form of financial abuse is what they call coerced debt. This is debt that an abusive partner has taken out, either in the name of the particular person, without the person's knowledge, or the person actually forced that person, threatened to make out that particular debt. So coerced debt exists with this domestic abuse. And we all know domestic abuse can be physical, emotional, or even financial. So, like I said before, coerced debt is a type of financial abuse.
Felicity Guest joins us now. She's an activist in financial abuse and also a founder of Child Maintenance Difficulties in South Africa. You actually counsel a lot of particularly women who've been victims of coerced debt as a form of gender-based violence, domestic violence, Felicity.
Yes, I do, Lester. Thank you for having me and good day to your listeners. You know, as a result of seeing women, particularly post-relationship, explaining how they are financially and economically compromised after leaving the relationship, I started doing extensive research to understand, one, their current situation, which is very compromised. So I started doing research and I realized that there's a lot of research on economic abuse and not so much financial abuse, but the words are used, they interchange them. So a lot of researchers don't define them as separate aspects or different forms of abuse. So I started doing my own research. And it was quite interesting. I pulled some of the figures out from 5 participants last night. Just to give an example, did he accumulate debt on your credit card? Mm. So that is also a form of coerced debt because he gets to use your credit card and runs it up and you're liable to pay. So 2 said yes, 3 said no, but this was only out of a sample pool of 5. Another question I asked was, did you take out loans in his name? 1 yes, 4 no, but all of them ended up paying for some of his debt. You know, another aspect. So did he refuse to work? 4 said yes and 1 said no. So there's so many nuances to this. But, I mean, once I've completed my research, obviously it will be a much bigger base. But the general research says that up to 60% of victims of domestic violence have experienced some form of coercive debt.
I'm looking at a study out of the United States Center for Survivor Agency and Justice, saying that 42% of survivors of domestic abuse report coerced debt, but also 71% saying that their partners had kept financial information from them. There's one thing to be said about my affairs are my affairs, and my financial affairs is my responsibility and for my eyes only. But talk to a little bit us about that, Felicity, of also withholding key financial information as a form of abuse.
So one of the questions that I asked was, did he keep financial information from you? 5 out of 5 said yes. Another question was, did he make important financial decisions without you? 5 said yes. Another one, did he hide money? 4 said yes, 1 said no. And then we move into a slightly different nuance. Did you have to beg for money? 4 said yes, 1 said no. Did he withhold money because of something you said? 4 said yes, 1 said no. Were you scared to discuss money? 4 said yes, 1 said no. And then moving into the field where I focus, which is maintenance, when you separated, did he continue to financially support the children? 5 said no.
Gosh, Siam, when it comes to legislation and the National Credit Act, when it comes to taking on debt, taking on loans, opening accounts, what does the NCA say about a partner imposing these things on you as a partner? What does legislation say about that?
Well, one of the issues is that, you know what, it can be a fraudulent account, which is really the person actually uses a loan or a credit card without the particular person's name, or a where there's a credit account, but they used force. So one of the things is that a coerced debt, as long as you didn't benefit from the debt by using the money or items purchased, you may be able to challenge the coerced debt.
But of course, that means first getting out of an abusive relationship.
And we do know, I mean, if you want to get out of a relationship, there's obviously different processes that you can follow, but you can also get an interdict. Now, I know that we're talking about coerced debt, but if we talk about financial abuse, for example, you can get a provision, you can get an order. If you, for example, paid your rent or your mortgage bond, etc., and now he keeps that away from you as a form of punishment, and you can lose your house. You can get an order to force him to continue paying whatever he is supposed to be paid. And those are available in terms of domestic violence. And those are also things that we need to be able to look at.
A message from Anonymous saying, "Hi, Lester. I paid for my ex-husband's cell phone bill for years after we were divorced." What does that then mean when it comes to, in terms of marital contracts, community of property? What then it means?
Problem. What does that then? In community of property means that both debt. Obviously, it's half of both parties. But we also know when it comes to loans nowadays, when it comes to bonds, when it comes to any form of credit, etc., you will need the permission of your particular partner. And that is what they also look at. And when you are forced to be able to sign, etc., that is, like I said before, like a coerced debt, it is a form of financial abuse.
We're speaking about coerced debt as a form of domestic abuse, a form of gender-based violence, a partner forcing or coercing you to take out loans, to take out debt on your credit card, to open up accounts in your name, or even using your personal details to open up accounts without your knowing. If you have some experience in this, if you have a story to tell, 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. Felicity, you particularly coach women when it comes to financial freedom, how to be financially independent, but also undo the grips of financial abuse. What to them is the most difficult when trying to get out of a financially abusive relationship?
Well, my area of focus is post-relationship, because there's copious amounts of research in relationship, but there is not much research on post-relationship. So I started seeing patterns and forms. How how it changes shape and form when you leave the relationship. So my research includes addressing all of that. And as I alluded to earlier, the first thing when they separate is they stop supporting them financially. And we see that most women do experience some form of abuse. I mean, they just don't know when they're in the relationship that they're experiencing it. So it's focusing on how it's changed shape and form and what you can do about it. And because there's such a high rate of lack of financial support in the form of maintenance, and my anecdotal research shows that 60% of women are not getting financial support. So that puts a financial pressure on them to provide not just for their needs, but, you know, for all the children's needs, as well as all the unpaid labor, and not understanding the law and how the maintenance courts are supposed to function and how to have their children's rights enforced. So it speaks to the absolute economic inequality of women. And I just want to say, we have all this amazing legislation. I have a protection order for economic abuse. And when it was violated, I went to the police station. A colonel said to me, "We are not debt collectors."
Wow.
Go to maintenance court. And I walked out there in tears. I had to take the investigating officer to the domestic violence court so he could understand what it was, how to enforce it. Then SAPS refused to implement it in Johannesburg. They said, "What must we do with him? You're in Cape Town." Fortunately, I did manage to exercise that or have that enforced in Cape Town. But I went to SAPS. I had to stake him out. I then phoned the police. Took them 1.5 hours later. I was victimized by the very police in the police station. They laughed at me. They said, "This is not domestic violence." That I ended up with a trauma counselor. I can't enforce it again because I've been back to the same police station when it was violated again, and the captain, who is a woman, told me I must go to maintenance court. I said, "I have a protection order for my intellectually challenged son." I reported SAPS. They were investigated. I reported the two senior prosecutors who refused to authorize it. They just kept sending me back to maintenance court. But the maintenance courts are dysfunctional. That's why I applied for a protection order to protect my intellectually handicapped child.
Because I guess, Siham, it is not as in your face as physical violence, as physical abuse. It may not present itself in the emotional abuse where you can see something is troubling, someone is troubled. But financial abuse is almost something that's more forensic. Like Felicity said, going to a police station, trying to explain, "Well, this person has forced me to take out a loan." There's something that's almost far more forensic to uncovering and dealing with financial abuse.
Yes. Mm. Can I just come in here? You are correct. I mean, it is exceptionally difficult. It is most domestic violence, etc. They would want to concentrate on the physical abuse, more on the broader, maybe emotional, verbal, or even broad damage to property. But it is exceptionally difficult, and this is why it's so important that SAPS, etc., frontline staff are aware of what coerced debt is and what the forms of financial abuse is. And remember that the domestic violence protection order is also an interim order, and then it only becomes a final order. So in that process, you can get the interim order to be able to ensure that the husband pays the rent or pays the bond or pay that which is required of him to do and which he has done, and you can show to the court that is his responsibility.
Felicity, we're looking at now options for particularly women to get out of financially abusive relationships. What are some of the outlets for them?
Well, this is becoming financially independent. And the maintenance is such a critical aspect of this, because even if you have a job and you are doing all the primary care unpaid labor, it's very difficult to upskill yourself. And women, most women do the menial jobs. If you look at the lower end of the socioeconomics, they're doing menial jobs. So they become trapped. And there are many women who stay in abusive relationships because of the financial dependence, or they move into places where there is financial abuse occurring. There was an article in the Sunday Times recently where a school teacher impregnated a 15-year-old girl. And her mother said, I used to be a domestic worker. I worked really hard. Now he pays me. I'm not going to report him. He buys food. I'm certainly not going to report him because he's improved my life. And we're grateful for him for the financial contribution. I mean, I was horrified when I read this article.
Let's go to a quick voice note here, 0725671567. Let's have a listen.
Thank you for this conversation, Lester. 30 years ago, I was in the throes of just such debt abuse, and grateful that it's no longer part of my life.
I have a message here that I want to read out, and it says, Hi Lester, I really appreciate this discussion as it really is something that happens to both men and women. Please stop referring to the abuser as male. Women are often more financially abusive. I'd like you to weigh in on this, Sia. Hi Sia, are you there? Felicity.
Hello.
Hi, did you hear my question?
No, I didn't get that.
It was a question that says, Hi, Lester, I really appreciate this discussion as it is really something that happens to both men and women. Please stop referring to the abuser as male, as women are often more financially abusive. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to play a zero-sum game at the end of the day. This is not either or. But we do know that women are disproportionately impacted by domestic violence. And even if the spouse, for example, is in the form of a woman, but like I said, the statistics reflect that women are more abused and that they cannot get out of the situation because there isn't mechanisms to be able to ensure that they're economically empowered. Mm. I mean, we need to be very clear what coerced debt is. This is not, for example, a nagging of funding or money. This is about where somebody legally, and I would go as far as saying, it's a form of identity theft. Mm. Because he has forced you to sign a loan agreement, to sign a credit agreement, to be able to ensure that he uses the debt or uses the funding. But one of the requirements is that you must also show that you were... You did not
partake
in that particular funding.
Lester, I am separated with no kids. I pay not a cent of alimony or support. You can get that from a boyfriend she used to spend my money on. That's a message from Rob there. A lot of the messages that we are getting, Felicity, actually, I've besides one or two here, almost all of the rest of probably the dozen messages I have here are also that men are more financially abused than women. Here's a message that says, Good day, Lester. My experience is that my wife's opens account without the husband knowing a thing. Just your response, Felicity, to a lot of men saying, but hold on. Men are also feel the brunt of financial abuse. And I understand what Siam is saying, that this is not a zero-sum game, but I'd like you to weigh in on this.
Of course, men are financially abused, but you need to unpack that. So, if a woman is a stay-at-home mom and she opens up accounts and she just spends, who's she economically dependent on? So, I mean, there's so many different things to take into account. If she is working and she is running up debts and he's having to pay for them or demanding, you know, sunglasses for 10,000 rand. I mean, there's obviously power dynamics in there, but it's looking at the behavior. And we have to look at, as Sian said, you know, there is historically that women are disproportionately economically disadvantaged. on every single level. So we, in terms of protecting the majority, and the majority do not have the economic means because men have inherently been economically privileged. And men use money as a form of control in relationship, and it's the most effective form of control post-relationship. And the problem with this is that it's a silent, invisible form of gender-based violence with a huge intersection to poverty. So, I mean, it's the same, like maintenance means that, but I'm primary caregiver, I don't get maintenance from the mother. Of course it happens, but an issue becomes an issue because it affects the majority of people. So this is not saying that men, it doesn't happen to men. Of course, men get raped. Mm. We know that. But who is the majority? And who is protecting the majority?
Mm. Well, Siam Samai, Director of the Women's Legal Center. Felicity Guest, she is a anti-financial abuse activist, also the founder of Child Maintenance Difficulties of South Africa. Thanks so much for joining us. I'd really appreciate it.